Like, what do you mean recorded?
Like, recorded. Like, you're going to post this.
Right now.
Like, we're going to record mountain bike stuff?
Yeah.
Talk about mountain bike stuff?
Yeah. Time's going right now. I see the time clicking.
You nervous? Oh, shit. All right. This can all be edited out.
What do you mean this can be edited out? This is podcast, like, one, negative one. Hero status.
All right.
All right. Welcome, guys. This is an episode of Let's Talk Bike.
Hey, you forgot to say it was brought to you by.
Dude, give him a second.
Man, it's brought to you by the Squeaky Wheel Bike Shop. Duh, everyone knows that. All right, so we're sitting here at the round table. I've got R-Dub, Ryan Wagner, and Ted Blanchard, local mountain bike shredders. And today, we're going to talk mountain bike. What do you say, guys?
Let's do it. I'm down.
All right. So we definitely got some stuff to talk about, some stuff that's on our chest, some serious stuff. But I want to start off with the listeners with a question that you can stew on for a few minutes here. It's do you have Strava drama? Now we're going to get into that in a little bit. So we're going to tap into some other things right now, but we feel like that's something that that maybe everybody's had, and we'll dive into that and with some opinions and some concerns. So. First off, I got Ted here, and he's chomping at the bit with suspension on his mind. And I'm going to turn this over to you, and let's unload, man. Drop it. Like it's hot.
Yeah, so one thing I've kind of noticed, not every brand, and when I mean brand, I mean like manufacturer for bike, not suspension company, but manufacturer as in like, we'll take Santa Cruz, for example. They do a lot of mismatching suspension on their bike. So like, for example, they'll have a bike that comes spec with Fox shock, rear shock, but then like a RockShox fork. And it actually kind of bothers people. Some people don't like their stuff not to match. Everybody likes their stuff all Fox or all RockShox or whatever tickles your fancy.
Now, do you think that people get bothered based on the fact that they like one brand better than the other, or one is higher quality than the other? Or do you think it's just a purely a mixed match thing?
I think it's a both, right? Like, but I also think it depends on the price range of which you're shopping at. Like if you're buying, you know, like their D build, which is, let me look at my phone, the D, $3,500. So that's their entry level bike, right? Like, and especially if you know anything about suspension, it's like the cheapest Fox fork you can get is their performance. And on this particular bike, it'd be a 36, I think is what they spec it with. For Fox, if it were to go Fox, they're not going to do a 34 on it, I don't think.
So why do you think they call it a D build? Is that like a almost a fail? You got a D?
No, I don't know why they call it like DRS. Like that is a weird.
I don't know. I just.
But as far as suspension, like, if you look at the Hightower range, right, like the entry-level bike comes with a RockShox Gold, which I think is like, what, a $500 fork retail? And then you get the Yari on the R build, which is their $4,000 aluminum bike. And that fork, to me, actually doesn't make a lot of sense because it's similarly priced with like the Fox performance stuff, but I think the Fox stuff is way better. But to tie this all together, both of those bikes come with a Fox shock, rear shock, a Fox float performance DPS.
A flock of foxes.
A flock of flame, right? So they both come with Fox float shocks. And which I have a theory for that as well, but we'll dive into that better. And then this is where it gets really crazy, I think. So if the S build, which is their top-of-the-line aluminum bike, actually does a flip-flop. It comes with a Fox 36 performance fork, but then a super deluxe shock.
Looks like the R build is a deluxe, but the S build is a select plus, so it's got more adjustments.
No, the shock on the R build, R aluminum.
Oh, I'm looking at
carbon. Yeah, I'm looking at aluminum. I think carbon, they kind of mimic what the aluminum does, just at a carbon price point.
So you could ask yourself right now, what do you got against the aluminum, Bob?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Aluminum.
Sounds like. Oh, I just skipped right over that crap. I went right to the carbon.
But I think obviously for the cheaper bikes, right? Like, And cheap is relative because $3,500 is a lot of money for anything. So to say that it's a cheap bike is kind of an oxymoron because it's not. It makes sense. I 100% get why they put a RockShox Gold on that bike because I think the cheapest Fox Performance is what, like $680, $700? You guys can check me on that. Where I know for a fact the RockShox Golds are like $500. So that brings back that price point to make it more affordable to spec on that bike. But like I said, and then I think a lot of manufacturers like to lean towards that Fox Float Performance is because I think Fox probably just cranks out a million of those. So the price for Santa Cruz to get those is cheap and they work great. They're really solid shocks. And the Fox Performance, those are the non-reservoir. That's just your basic single chamber air shock from Fox. And I think they just work really well. So that's probably why they spec them on most. Like you'll see those on higher end bikes and then you'll see them on lower end bikes as well. So I think just they just work and that's why people run them. But it is weird though how on the S build, like I said, you're getting a super deluxe in the rear, but then you go to a Fox in the front. So it's flip flop. What are your guys' opinions on that?
I'm definitely not, or do I want to be a product manager and have that job where have to decide, you know, price points, what you're getting, especially on a brand like Santa Cruz. That's, I mean, man, they're like ultra premium in the customer's eyes. I feel like that at least the Gold is a 35. It is the beefier than like the Recon previous, you know, models.
Yeah. Where oh, for sure. Way better before
stanchions. And, but I mean, that Yari's definitely nicer. It's got the,
but it's got the same damper. No, It's just the motion control, or no, the charger. No, I think the Golds are motion control dampers. No,
it's got the charger,
and then the charger is in the Yari. Okay, so there is a definite upgrade there, but I'm still a fan of the Fox grip over the standard charger damper. But if we're talking about like the charger 2.1, like what Austin did, which for people who don't know, Austin's my best buddy. He's got a Santa Cruz Hightower that came with a regular Yari. And then he ended up doing the damper swap to the more expensive 2.1 damper. That is a badass conversion right there. And that made his bike feel.
But look at the, like I mean, the D bucks. Build. It's only $450 less than an R build. You got the Yari, you got descendant cranks. I mean, everything at the bigger, well.
Well, yeah, there's other factors, the right? Dropper. Like, but I'm talking just suspension. Like, yeah,
so the incremental, you know, yeah. On the suspension, it is weird that you would have a RockShox Fox mix. And I can't say for why they did that. I mean, I'm not sure if for that bike specifically, the tuning works better on the RockShox rear than a Fox would. Maybe.
But here's where I contradict that, because like I said, the higher end aluminum bike comes with the RockShox shock, but then the lower end, same chassis, same frame, comes with the Fox DPS. So it's like that argument of like, oh, well, this just works for this. Well, yeah. So I think that frame probably works with multiple suspension applications. But I think on the lower end aluminum bikes, they're probably going with the Fox just because it's effective and it's cheap. Like in a good way, cheap, like affordable. Like they make so many of them, Santa Cruz can get some for a good price. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a deeper explanation here that we can't understand. But it definitely, I mean, because of the price jumps, there has to be a price variance here that controls that.
Yeah.
And I know that these companies can't play favorites to like
suspension.
You know, like RockShox or SRAM can't jump in and say, hey, you know, you have to run everything that I have.
Oh yeah, no way.
That's illegal actually to make them do that.
Oh, is it so, really?
Yeah, it's
illegal. To like tie in.
Yeah, you can't You can't just like say, you know, if you don't spec everything this year with my company, then you will not be able to buy or so. No, every company can't do that. It's illegal.
Yeah.
So I know they probably base their information on spec, on availability, price, you know, sometimes products going to take longer to get. So they'll substitute and say, okay, this year, because they can't get so many X, we're going to run Y or Z.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah.
No opinion, really.
What?
Yeah.
You work on this stuff. That doesn't bother you?
Well, I don't
think... Or at least, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, yeah. Here's another question. So, like, why don't you see a lot of mid-priced RockShox stuff? Like, the shocks that we have on our bikes, Bob. For those who don't know, we have the RTC Plus, I think, which is essentially RockShox version of a Fox Float shock factory, like the Kashima stuff. Like, it's got high speed, low speed, you know, but it's also a little bit cheaper. I think they're, what, 400 retail, where like the Fox factory is like 579 or something like that. So why do you not, okay, here's another question. Why do you not see a lot of RockShox shocks on other bikes? Like the Monarchs and some of their, like, equivalent to like the Fox Float stuff. You know what I mean?
I think we'd have to dive deeper into other brands and see what exactly they have spec'd.
You don't see it.
A spreadsheet.
Like, for instance, like Giant on their stances, like their entry level stances, you see that Monarch, like this only got a rebound adjust, right?
The stance has the RockShox rear.
And then it's got a recon, which makes sense for that price point. But like, you don't see like their mid. I mean, if you go on SRAM's website, which is also the RockShox website, they have like 4 pages of shocks to choose from, and you don't ever see any of those on any other bikes. You really only see, like, the only RockShox stuff I see on the rear of bikes is like their Super Deluxe stuff, which has the reservoir, like for your bigger travel bikes, like the higher end high tower, which has that. And like your mega towers and stuff and your big enduros. And then I see the really cheap stuff, but you don't see like that Fox Float level stuff, like the $280, $300 shock. And maybe that's just because the Fox stuff works so well that that's kind of like the gold standard in affordable, good rear suspension that, like, you know, I mean, my $4,000 Trek came with that, you know, and then also my $2,000 Marin bike that I had previous came with that as well. So that shock kind of transcends to multiple price points for bikes, I think. Maybe that's a way to put it.
Well, one of the things that I think you're struggling with is the fact that, you know, in other people's eyes as well, is they see that you have a premium brand bike, right?
What, me specifically?
Just in general. Like, yeah, like the Santa Cruz, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or any other brand that they consider a premium brand. And the pricing on these bikes are well known to be higher than everybody else.
For right? like a Santa Cruz? Well, you definitely don't get as much value for your money as opposed to going with Giant.
But you get the chassis. You get the...
Oh, that VPP link is nuts.
Yeah, you get a proven design, winning World Cup races, World Championship races.
Like when I rode... Yeah.
It's guaranteed that that bike is designed well. Yeah. And they've been running the same stuff for a while. Like, so there's not too many changes. It's a dynamite setup.
Yeah.
So, but then, you know, so it's so easy to start picking this apart and saying, hey, why is there a RockShox here and a Fox there? And, you know, it's hard because they're doing their best to try to keep the pricing down, to try to make it affordable. At the same time, you're paying more for that bike.
Yeah.
My guess is to just support a company with a minimum amount of product and giant race teams that they travel the world with, all these different things. So and then when you got companies like Giant who make their own bicycle, they're obviously the biggest manufacturer in the world for bicycles. They have the opportunity to charge less and give you more product because they're making their own bikes.
But that comes at a cost too. Cause like Giants are sick bikes, but it's a Giant.
Yeah. But for spec wise,
you know,
you look at the Giant catalog and spec wise, you could say, oh man, this comes with this. This comes with that. That's a pretty good deal for that price. And then you go over to Santa Cruz. You're like, oh man, that D build at $3,500 has a RockShox 35.
But
you're like,
but you know what, dude, like that's true. But like I've ridden a lot of bikes. So like, and I used to be that dude like, well, the Giant spec better. So I'm going to buy that one. It's cheaper, and it has the same stuff. But that Santa Cruz, that Hightower chassis, that VPP suspension link, and I rode, like I said, I rode Austin's in Santa Cruz. I rode it in Sedona, where it's like that's gnarly, rocky terrain. Like you want, that is the perfect bike for out there, you know. And that suspension it's descended amazing. That link climbed amazing because it's all chunky technical climbs, where like you don't want something stiff. You want something very, almost linear. You know, where it's very smooth. Well, I guess progressive, right? Like it's smooth up top, but then it firms up And his bike had the standard Fox shock. And at no time did I think like, oh, I wish I had more shock on the rear. It just worked really well, you know? So, but yeah, I don't know. And for me, like the fork makes sense, right? Like you're not, they're not going to put a Fox float like a Fox 34 or no, that's not a float. That's a rhythm. Sorry. The Fox Rhythm 34 fork. They're not going to put that on a $2,500 bike. Cause I don't think I see those forks on anything less than like $3,500, you know? So that 100% makes sense why you're not going to see that on cheaper bikes. Like you're not going to see that on a Stance 2, right? That's why they come with the Marzocchi, which is a good fork, but it's, again, I've ridden that one too, and it's not as good as even though it's a Fox product, it's not as good as a
but then
a Rhythm.
Then you got like the Fuel EX8 by Trek. I mean, this thing right here, like the GX build.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a sick bike.
Yeah, for $38.99. So this is going to be $250 more. Right.
Then what?
Then the D build.
Which comes with the gold.
Yeah. So the D build is $35.49. So you got $38.99. Now that upgrades you to a dropper post.
Right? Oh, does that bike not come with a dropper post from Santa Cruz?
No.
On a high tower?
Yeah, it comes with
I didn't even look at that. That's a fixed post.
Yeah, so the C post. Yeah, jeez. So it kind of throws a wrench in the system, right?
That's not a wrench. That's insulting almost.
Says the Telus. You know, because historically they didn't. You know what? It does now. It does now.
Okay. I was about to say that. So all the high towers come with. The new one
does. Historically, the lower end didn't.
Okay, okay, okay. Cool.
My bad.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah. So you got the Telus, but then for the GX or for the Fuel EX8, you got SLX cranks.
But they also make that in a GX build too, just for disclaimer for everybody else. Right? Yeah, the GX8. No, the EX8 Fuel. They make that in a GX build as well.
Well, let's see if we go here. Find it.
And pretty sure they do. Which is cool because you can get like...
Well, they did... They did back in 2021...
Oh, you're looking at the 2022 spreadsheet? Yeah.
So we'll stick with 2021 because 2021 is still the bikes we're getting.
Yeah.
And it is a GX. So $38.99 gives you GX. So
that's like the best bang for the buck drivetrain you can get.
Yeah. So you're going to go from a, you know, NX or SX NX combo.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's got as long as it's got an NX derailleur, you're good to go. Those SX derailleurs are not great.
Yeah. But still. You got a combo, right?
Right.
It's an SX rear derailleur.
Oh, good. Yeah. Change that out immediately.
On the high tower.
It will flex on you.
And I'm not really bashing them. This is purely just a value conversation, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a full bash because, again, like, their bikes are on just a different level. And I mean that, it's just, they're on a level where they're a niche brand. They have their following. And
well, some like people said, want a Santa Cruz like over everything.
They're not as big company.
And it's a great chassis. So if you want to upgrade, like, you know, that frame is 100% worth putting on a different derailleur. If you can't have the money up front to buy their spec, that's NX or whatever. Like, it's totally worth it to buy. It's not like you're getting something where it's like, this is not upgradable.
I'm trying to find here that you got, let's see, for the wheels. Rims. I mean, it does come with, they're both tubeless. That's great. You both have droppers. That's great. You do got GX. That's a big upgrade. Now the rear shock.
That's on what? What bike are we talking about here?
I'm just saying like the
Fuel.
The Fuel's a GX. Now they are different travel too. So disclaimer, like it's one's a 150, but they're comparable.
Yeah, they're comparable bikes. They're I think the Hightower is a little more aggressive. Well, no, they're both. Yeah.
Geometry is a little bit more aggressive.
On the Hightower?
Yeah.
It's more downhill-ish.
But
the other thing too is the Trek's a lot lighter.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lighter bike.
Which, yeah, that's huge.
So I'm looking at like you have G2 brakes on the Trek, the Hightower.
As long as it's got fork pistons, I'm good to go.
Guide tees.
Yeah, those are.
You know what I mean? So yeah.
Take the G2s.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, all day.
Yeah, you would.
I'm missing something.
But at least. Like, that's the middle ground, right? So if you're, you know, if Santa Cruz is your flavor, you're not getting a bad bike.
You're not getting a bad bike with any of those, least, for disclaimer.
But if you look, if you, you know, put a sticker over the name of the bike and didn't care about what it said, then, you know, you start breaking the components down, then, you know, there's better deals out there.
And you've obviously ran into people who are on both sides of that spectrum, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean,
like you've met people where it's like, no, I want a Santa Cruz. I want a Trek. It's like, I don't care if they're more. And then you've met people like my dad, like he's all about value, right? Like he wants the best bang for his buck and he bought a Stance. So like, or no, Trance, sorry, which is a great spec bike, Fox, you know, and dude, he bought it used off you for like $1,800. Like that's, sweet. This was before COVID, right? This is before you knew what's going to happen.
Yeah. I should have gouged him some more.
You should have like just not sold it. Cause you can't get any more demos.
Should have doubled. Yeah. I should have tried to buy it back and then resell it.
I know. He'd be like, yeah, $2,500. It's all yours. Yeah. And then he'll never replace it. He'll ride his old mountain bike for another 4 years.
If I would have offered him like $40 over, he'd have probably taken it.
No, because then he's
like, oh, I'm making money on the deal.
No, because he's a convenience guy too. Like now he's inconvenienced. He's got to go find something.
You would have probably stopped him. Be like, oh no, you could sell.
Now, like if there was like, oh, I'm gonna get this. Like okay,
let me check Bicycle Blue Book real quick. Oh dang, you can make $400 more.
But what was the retail on that bike? It's like the same demo you have, that green and black one. So it's Fox front and rear rhythm stuff in the front, with the DPS in the rear, and it's NX with, I think it's like the crappy SRAM brakes, the four piston guides or whatever.
It was like 2,300, I think.
Yeah. That's like, which considering, so the new Trances come less spec'd for more, right?
I'd have to dig
like SL. That. Well, you know what?
There's been so many changes lately.
Take that back. They come really good. The only, I guess, downgrade on the new Trances would just be the fork. They're running that Marzocchi now, which isn't a bad fork. I ran it on my old bike.
The before. Only problem we've had is that they don't put the wiper seals under the seal, the sponge.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't soak oil up to keep that seal wet and lubricated.
So as they blow, or is it just not a good riding fork?
They just get real sticky because the oil, when it splashes up, it doesn't get hung up on that foam ring. And so it doesn't stay moist.
Huh.
And then you basically got a sticky fork unless you turn it over and get everything wet. So it's, I mean, that's kind of a problem. I know they saved some money, or at least, I mean, actually, well, I don't even know if that was maybe a bad run, but that's what we've seen.
Yeah. Well, the fork is different. So it's an open bath damper design.
I can't speak for Fox in the Marzocchi department and what they do, but that's what we've seen.
Yeah. But it is an open bath damper design. So it's not the same as the grip damper from Fox. And then also I think they cast the lowers from a different material. So that's why they're slightly heavier. But other than that, it's pretty much the air side is the exact same.
I haven't taken it apart, and I don't have X-ray vision.
But Ryan here is a fork mechanic, so he might be able to shed some light on that. But he doesn't want to talk, so
it's a great segue now into let's do suspension battle. Like we know that the specs are all over the board of pricing, but have we ridden these enough to know what we actually like?
Oh yeah, I have 100%.
And all the different models to understand the difference.
I've ridden a pretty good amount. My 1 year of riding mountain bikes, yeah. I feel like you say that with some sarcasm, and you're probably half right, but I've ridden a pretty good amount of stuff. And you've admitted this, you've talked to, you know, we've had this discussion and you've been like, well, you know, you've ridden a lot of stuff, so you kind of know what you like.
You mean like when you borrow your buddy's bikes and thrash them in Arizona?
Whoa, dude. Austin, I didn't thrash your bike. Right. But no, like, but there, that's a good example, right? Like I've ridden enough to know that every Fox shock is not the same. Like my Top Fuel shock was valved way differently than the Fox shock that came on my Marin, you know? So it's like, you can't always judge a shock by how it feels, because they're tuning these things for that to match the kinematics that bike's putting out. So like, you know, they're not gonna.
Could that be the suspension design or not just shock?
It's both. I think it's both. Like Trek wanted, like on my Top Fuel, right? Like Trek wanted that shock super stiff up top, so it has very little pedal bob, but then still will move through the travel, which it did. Like I never had a problem not getting enough suspension travel. It was just stiff all the way through. So when we put that RockShox RT3 Plus super hot boy shock on my bike, the same one you have on your scalpel. It like changed the way that bike felt. It still pedals really well. Has a little more bob, you can tell. So it's more of a trail bike in the pedaling department. But just because of the Geo, it's still very XC.
Definitely changed the attitudes of the bikes. It did for mine too.
Yeah, yeah. But like in a good way. Like it didn't make it all soft and floppy like how I didn't want it to. I'm super happy with that shock.
Mine felt like I actually could feel the travel when I'm hitting stuff versus just being choked up and like smacking and want to come back.
Yeah, and I guess like the remedy to that problem would have been like get a Yeti SP 115, right? But at the same time, like I like the spirit of my bike being like 120 mil travel and more XC focus, but like now it can party a little bit harder.
It's really hard to have apples and apples on things because you can't in our little world have equal fork and shock and go back to back. Try things. So when you got the upgrade Monarch Select Ultimate, actually it was the Ultimate, not Select, you really are trying an upgraded shock. So instead of having like the top of the line Fox factory with all the adjustments,
yeah,
and then going to the Ultimate Monarch, like it's not exactly apples to apples. So
what do you mean?
Well, you had a DPS rear shock. Without the factory performance upgrades of the low speed.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that if you would have gone to the Fox, you'd enjoyed that the same, but nobody knows.
And that's why I didn't go there. I was scared, which kind of contradicts my last point, right? Like, will they valve these things differently? But I truly believe that that valve stack, I bet you if you tore down that shock in the valve stack and that bike would be different than the valve stack in a fuel.
If we were Pink Bike or Worldwide Cycler, we would have try product out back to back and actually have valid, but at least we can only do what we could do with what we got. And so at least we've been able to try different product and see that there is a difference. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway.
You and I both could tell.
There is a difference. I mean, we have Ryan over here. He's got a hardtail with a Fox factory on it, a little Yeti arc.
Yeah.
And then he's got Trek Fuel that's got more travel 140 with a...
Rhythm?
No, it's... Oh, it's a RockShox.
The Pike. He's got the silver Pike.
Yeah. It's
got so what? Which one do you prefer? Because those are very similar, right? You got the badass RockShox damper, and then you have that. Is it a grip tube damper on the Fox, or is it the Fit?
The Fit 4.
So the Fit 4, I didn't hear greatest things about, but I don't know. I've never ridden one, so I can't shed light on that. I've never actually ridden a grip 2 off of Fox either, like the badass high speed, low speed one. That's like the one thing I'm missing. I need to do that. But anyways, what is your opinion on like the Pike versus your Fit?
I definitely see the Pike is more like supple, just soft.
Yeah.
If you want to go like freaking tear through some stuff, it's definitely going to be more forgiving. But like kind of the way the 130 is on the arc, I feel like it definitely kind of, it's a little more stiff. So it kind of fits that XC-ish light trail kind of
better. But do you think that's because of the travel difference or do you think that's just pure damper? Like, do you think the damper is actually stiffer and more supportive on the Fox?
Is there a difference in stanchion size?
Yeah. So the RockShox 35, but the Fox is 34, and I've seen a lot of bikes in the same I was trying to think of an example, but they'll be either spec'd at their higher end models with either the 34 or the Pike. Trek did something interesting with the fuels. They did actually, they made a 36. They did a 36 for theirs, which would be still like kind of Pike territory.
Right.
But then they had to step it down. So you can't.
To the Lyric stuff? Because the Lyrics are all 35s, right?
No. Those, I believe, are.
What do you mean step it down?
Like a Fit damper?
So the 36 doesn't come in anything less than 150 now.
But for then, what? From Trek or from?
From
Fox.
If you wanted to buy one like aftermarket, you can't get it. So they specific,
for a Fit? For a Fit damper?
No, a 36.
Oh, like a 36. Oh, yeah. Okay, my bad. I'm tracking now.
Yeah, but Fuel made a 140, a 36 and the 140.
When was this?
That's how all their fuels are.
Like really?
Higher end ones. So like that's specific to their bikes.
That's kind of cool. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, you can do at a bike shop, but
yeah, because you can buy the air spring, correct? Yeah. Like I was going to turn my Marzocchi into a 120 and all I had to do was buy the 120 Fox damper. But that is kind of cool how they did that. So it's like, it's almost like they wanted a more rowdy,
yeah,
like stiffer forks. They're like, well, we don't want to run like a 35 or definitely not a 34 yeah. stanchion Fox. So let's just take the 36 and put a different damper in it.
But I've seen other brands in like that kind of realm, like, and then they'll do the 30 fork and then they'll do the pikes for like their.
So they'll spec them each with both. Correct, each, the yeah. same bike with like different suspension. Yeah. Huh.
Certain.
I don't think I've seen that. I believe you, but yeah, yeah. I see more of that with like drivetrains. Obviously, like you can buy the same bike with like SRAM or Shimano. You see that all the time, but I haven't. And then, yeah. Huh. That's kind of cool.
So your preference. Is.
Oh yeah, back to the we get a lot of tangents here, yeah, guys, yeah. but that's fine. So, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. So preference definitely. I really like the RockShox or the SRAM.
I'll have to agree. I mean, yeah. even though I haven't ridden the Grip 2 stuff, like that RockShox fork is badass.
Well, so let me dive into like customers' thoughts, right? So I feel like most of our customers come in Fox. Want the Fox.
Well, base. That's because of like.
Well, based on, I mean, they have, I mean.
It's look, the image, look bro. At their, it's the image.
But they're legendary. The well, off-road Fox, scene.
You know?
The snowmobile scene.
Yeah. Moto. Moto. Well, not really Moto that much.
Historically, they did, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit here and there.
Quads. I mean, they've got yeah. air shocks and coils for
everything. And then, like, well, the other thing, too, is that's the, like, all these dudes, a lot of guys who come into your store, especially here, they have big lifted trucks, and dudes are like, oh, Fox suspension for my truck. So, like, oh, dude, bikes? Yeah. I didn't even know they did bikes. That's yeah. sick. You know, which is cool.
So the perception is that everybody wants the Fox.
Yeah.
And there was a time when, I mean, when RockShox had a better product, the Pike was way better than like the float that they had at the time.
Yeah.
Then they came back and turned it up and now everyone's turned up. And
yeah.
so the whole back and forth game for me is solid on both. I feel like they're both the top of their game. There's a million podcasts and videos on the market you could get where they both explain that they're both on top of their game. They're really good. You know, the only difference is right now I feel like is the adjustments on things. I mean, that's on my end and without getting into details of the product is that, you know, the Fox wants to give you one more rebound adjustment. Again, you know, you talk to the reps from RockShox and they state that RockShox doesn't believe you need that adjustment. It's kind of too much for to handle. But as of right now, to me, they're equal. I could ride either, and I'm not that picky.
Well, I was going to ask you, what do you prefer? But you kind of just answered that.
Yeah, no, that was my segue into basically, to me, I'll top anything, pop my sag in, rebound.
Yeah.
I do prefer that I have learned that I really like the nicer stuff. For sure.
No.
Yeah. And I really like.
Is that anybody and, who well, rides mountain bikes?
But I'm not that picky about suspension. So I would think that it wouldn't matter. But after having like the Fox Factory with the low speed and running the Ultimate on the Monarch, you know, and having the Ultimate upgrade on the fork, like having that low speed, you could feel like the fork just kind of rides a lot higher.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. When you're dropping into any kind of trail, if your fork just flies, you know, flat on its face and it loses, you know, because the damper is not holding it up. This comes from my downhill days too. We had experimented with some other forks and there was noticeable difference having something that rode higher, dropping at something. So I do prefer that. Other than that, to me, they're about the same. I mean, in terms of like what I would ride, I mean, everyone's got opinions, but for me, I'd take either, man. It's fine.
I know from like my perspective when I was starting to ride, and didn't really know much about mountain bikes because, like, my encyclopedia
that was
bikes,
like last week.
I mean, kind of, but like about a year, right? But like a lot's changed in a year. But I know when I started, I thought like RockShox was like a sub tier brand. Yeah, I was like, but now my bike that. Is pure. I literally changed out my Fox for a RockShox. So it's like, obviously, yeah. it's not true. But like, from somebody who just coming into a new bike shop all bright eyed and bushy tailed, right? Like, what am I looking at here? Like, I was under the impression that Fox was like A plus and RockShox was like a B brand, which is not the case.
They try super hard to keep the level going.
Yeah.
All right. So anything you want to add on that? Anything?
I think on suspension.
We could do more suspension stuff later.
That's I feel like that's like a never ending topic because everybody's got there's a million different ways you can go with that.
Huge rabbit portal.
Oh yeah. I think we went pretty deep on that for what that is today.
We wanted to touch I'd like to touch now on something that I think we're all using, I'd say, is Strava.
Strava.
Yeah.
It's like Narnia for bikers.
My favorite shirt was the was like the Strava shirts that going around when everyone had Strava t-shirts and,
like they were orange.
Like it was when it first started, pretty rad. But should today,
get some of those.
Yeah, I think there was one that said Strava Wars, like Star Wars. And
there is Strava Wars. It's a thing.
Yeah,
especially when a new trail's built.
But
for sure.
I think today we're gonna do something specific with Strava because we have R Dub here, and this kind of relates to him specifically in the room, but I think probably also a Ted, but I'll jump back a little bit. So once, I mean, I physically brought Strava to the Valley.
Yeah. You're telling me that's pretty,
It was when I was
revolutionary,
went to go to specialize for a clinic with the old shop I worked at. And they had us download on our phones during a class. During a class session of learning marketing or something. It was pretty cool. They're like, hey, everybody, have you heard of Strava? And they're like, everyone's like, no. They're like, okay, open your phone, download it right now. And so everyone's just sitting there just plugging away. And I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, you're like, whatever. So then they'd take us on a ride and make us turn it on, hit start and go. And from then on, it was like, dude, this is legit. It's racing. Legit racing on your phone.
Yeah.
And I felt like everyone's going to have it.
And everybody does. Like, yeah. I wouldn't ride if I didn't have Strava.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
Right.
Like, so, why do you say that? Like, isn't mountain biking fun? Yes. But yeah. when you can track your performance,
right,
it's even more fun.
So then I created the first segment, which was Wash Trail Pin It. Because I mean, obviously, it was huge in the downhill that time.
So that was the first Strava trail.
First segment here in the Valley. Yeah.
Created by yours truly, Bob.
That
Vigil.
I knew of, yeah. Well, I mean, that I knew of, for sure. But for the topic, I have created I coined a term actually called the Strava effect. So after that, everyone was downloading it. Everyone was riding. And what I had noticed through the years is that as this mountain biking grew, people would download Strava to ride with their buddies. And I started to find out that pretty much everybody was riding way over their head. They would instantly download the app. And it was basically just go as fast as you can all the time. Now, some who had a nice history of mountain biking, they had no problem adapting to it. But the new riders would just ride a little over their limits. And, man, there was tons of crashes.
Carnage everywhere.
Carnage, yeah. It was mayhem.
I haven't seen it lately, though. I mean, except for Orion here.
Well,
but I don't think that's because of like,
well, it's not everybody, right?
Yeah.
It's mostly people who didn't have a history of dirt biking or any kind of cornering or kind of activity. It was just like, go fast now. You don't see it every day, but there's been plenty of crashes on our Saturday rides where like Robert,
Is that my neighbor?
Yeah, your neighbor Robert. Yeah, he's a hockey guy.
Yeah, but that's
He got on the first bike he got, he just would crash like almost every ride, and he knocked one of his teeth out.
Yeah,
dude,
I had to tone that guy down, man.
Like, but he was going for it,
and
right?
He loved it, dude. Like, I felt like he wouldn't have been pumped if he didn't get hurt. He'd be like, I didn't send it hard enough today, apparently.
That's the Strava effect, right?
Like, but was it because of Strava though? You think he did that?
Or
do you think it's just because that's his personality? Okay, he was like super pumped.
So my theory on this isn't necessarily like you download a Strava and you went fast, but everybody's on Strava and you go out and you ride and you're hitting segments.
So everybody's going hard.
Everybody's
so you want to go hard
going
too.
Fast, and you do too. And you,
yeah.
The whole Strava effect definition in my mind is you learn to go fast before you got the skills to go fast. And when he was crashing all the time, he didn't have a session of like, okay, here's how you corner, here's how you lean, here's where you put your pedals, you know, here's your tire pressure for cornering, or whatever it is. Like you just learn to like, I'm gonna go as fast as I can because I want to be on the board and I want that little PR cup so freaking bad. And do anything you'll take to get it. And then usually hitting the ground is the result.
I don't know if that was his motivation, but it does tie in, right? Like, so we're all on Strava. So because we're all at a high level, he wants to keep up. He might not be going out there like, I need to get this cup because I want to be faster than I was yesterday, which is probably there because everybody wants to improve. But I think it's a lot of it's like everybody else is going fast. So I just need to physically keep up and go fast.
Well, this thing,
but
though,
the reason we're doing that is because we're on Strava.
I'd say think back, but you guys haven't been riding long enough to think that far back. Relax, but before Strava, God,
I just had my second year subscription on Strava, man.
Yeah.
I've been in this game for a while.
But pre Strava, you just rode your bike. You didn't have an app that had a time segments in it to beat your buddies. It was just, we're going out riding our bikes.
How'd you guys do it?
Well, you still go fast.
That's literally why I gave up dirt bikes.
But the element of Strava just ramped up everyone's race mentality, whether you know it or not. You know, you're a beginner.
I believe that's true.
Yeah, and it changed the game. And one thing that I feel like people aren't talking about is the Strava effect. It's the crashing associated with, you know, with going fast because of Strava. It's all originated from Strava. Now, that was the goal. I'm sure the app is amazing. We all love it. It's a tool that you can use it however you want for personal records, beating your buddies, seeing all your stats at the end of the year. They give you a little congratulatory little videos and stuff like that to say, hey, look at you. And
little things. Well, there's going to be unintended side effects and consequences for everything, right? Like, their goal, like Strava is the community of biking, right? Yeah. So like that's what they intended, and they do that. It is a community.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you can schedule rides, there's groups on there, but like I literally almost died 2 weeks ago chasing Tyler down Slider because I knew he was going for it to get that KLM. And I was like, well, I know if I trail him, I can be right there because my time's pretty good on that trail. But I know if I follow him, I'll be faster. So because he was going for it to get a cup, I wanted to go for it to get a cup, and I almost died.
Strava effect.
It was a Strava effect, and I almost
effect.
I almost sent myself down the mountain.
All right, so this whole thing really ties into our dub here. That you know, Ryan started here basically. I want to say he started mountain biking with us. Like he had a mountain bike, but I feel like he really wasn't a mountain biker until he started working with us. So I feel like we'll say that's when he started. So it's been a couple years. So he starts with us, and then he starts going fast. And then every ride, it's basically a crash.
It's a dismount. Then, it's not a crash.
And then another crash, another crash. And I mean in one ride.
Dude, like, I remember one ride.
Not multiple rides, yeah.
You literally crashed and like tried to hide it from everybody, yet your back was like completely dirty.
Yeah.
Like I don't crash, I just get off the bike.
Look, the great thing about Ryan is he doesn't consider these crashes. He considers these dismounts or I just, you know, tipped over or whatever, but yet he's half of his whole side's completely brown. His bike's dirty. But one thing that we really haven't discussed in the shop is like Ryan's actual side of the Strava effect that he had no idea he's being a part of. But I knew it because I've seen this before. This is not my first rodeo with the Strava effect. And I've said this many years ago. So what I want is Ryan to jump in here and kind of give his side from starting to ride with the group, going fast, how I felt about it. So I'm going to leave this up to you.
Go.
From the beginning. From the beginning. When you started riding mountain bikes with the shop ride, and how did you feel about the group? Were you like able to keep up real well, not real well? Were you trying harder and that's where crashes came? Like the beginning, can you remember back that far? Like how you felt? I know this is putting you on the spot, but that's always a little tough. But one thing that, like I said, we've never talked about is like how you've really come around to be where you are and how, where you started, like how you felt, like what was going on in your mind when you were crashing, like what were you doing? Like, were you going for it and like just didn't know what you're doing? Or maybe you did and you just were focusing on like maybe some chicks in the group or something. I don't know.
All those chicks are waiting for you at second bench.
Yeah.
Said no one ever.
Yeah, no, just, so I had the fitness to keep up with you guys, but definitely no bike skills. So just trying to keep up with you guys.
Yeah. I can't tell. I mean, like how long has it been with you for now?
It's been
like a year and a half.
You've been working for a year and a half?
No, you started in the other shop.
Yeah, it's so like a little over a year and a half here.
Call it like a solid two.
It's been at least two.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you like never rode mountain bikes like before.
No biking experience ever. Never did BMX.
Really?
No.
So you I just want to work at a bike shop one day?
Strava effect. Yeah. effect.
Really? No way. Just well, that's freaking rad. So like, so you didn't own like an expensive bike or road or anything?
No.
So... okay. Well,
he had a stumpy when he started.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had another question, but we'll say that for later or maybe another episode. But, Yeah. So like, so you were pretty fit from what, just like working out?
Yeah, just working out.
Like, dude, were you doing like more like CrossFit cardio style stuff or what?
Like Lou Frigno type workouts.
Yeah. Just like going to the gym, playing basketball.
So you had pretty good cardio because a lot of buff dudes, they ride, they get smoked because it's a completely different style of working out.
No, I've always been an athletic person.
But yeah.
Yeah. He spent most of his days at Muscle Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would show up to a ride with a wife beater on.
So Bob changed your life.
And it was a white wife beater. Yeah, at the end of the ride, it was brown and bloody.
Yeah. So I'm the bastard of the sport.
But that was the great thing because
I had no idea you never rode before this.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the Strava effect. See, it'll push you to either A, you're gonna quit, or B, you're just gonna keep going and you're gonna be someone great. Yeah. Right.
Well, so when I started, I wasn't even really doing Strava, and then one day Bob's just like, hey, you should start messing around with Strava.
Yeah, we all need to harass you tell you.
Not
how
only am I a dealer,
you are.
I'm a user.
Yeah.
So, like, where are your times at now, like, on the leaderboards? Like, the climbs, you're probably quick at, right? Because, like, you're fit.
Yeah.
And I think I see you on leaderboards. What about the downhill? Because Hold on.
Hold on. Let's talk about slider. Let's see how far. I want to ask Ted a question. Where do you think he stands against you on slider right now?
Do you know the answer to this?
I don't, but I kind of had a good idea.
So, I don't know my
Ryan knows.
Exact
he'll tell you.
Time.
He's a little shy, but he'll tell you.
I don't want to sit here and hold up the podcast by looking at Strava on my phone, but as I'm talking to kill time, I'm on Strava looking at my time on Slider.
So
I think I'm like tied for ninth on Slider with like 10 people.
Okay, so I'm going to interlude here on this. Okay. So basically, Ryan went from no bike skills, not riding a mountain bike really. I think he had one, but I think he just rode to work or something, to mountain biking with us on a regular basis. I think he liked it. Sounded like he had a good time. To trying his hardest to keep up with everybody, smashing the ground 3 to 4 times a ride.
Dismounting.
Yeah. And he still does it. He still smashes the ground. But now, if you look at his times, he's pretty proud. I'll tell you all about
it. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
You're a second faster than me.
Where are you at?
Damn, fifth?
See?
That's freaking impressive, dude. Oh, this just happened.
Yep, smashed.
Whoa. So what was going on that day, dude? That's freaking gnarly.
He said he's got more to give.
You think so?
A little bit, yeah.
So the Strava effect, right? So like, I had a friend, Ben Norman, that used to ride with the shop, and he was the exact same way. This is why I'm having this conversation. He was the exact same way. He literally started mountain biking, came home bloody every day. His wife did not want a mountain bike based on the fact that he came home every day bloody morsel. And she ended up wanting a street bike, which we talked to in the mountain bike, but a different story. So turns out Ben Norman ended up being a really good racer and getting some sponsors and stuff like that, just locally, and doing really well. I mean, he had a personality that was a never give up and take it to the grave kind of personality. But still, like, that was the effect. Like, he started out having, I think he did ride dirt bikes, but he literally would go faster than his skills will allow. Yeah. That's the Strava effect. You go fast before your skills allow.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, people listening to this, they could probably relate to that. Yeah. I'm sure everybody in their heart right now can relate to that. And this is not just a picking on Ryan.
No, no, because I did the same thing. Yeah. Like I said, I've only been riding for a year, but obviously I had like pretty good BMX background, a little bit of moto, grew up on a bicycle, right? So like it came to me pretty decent. But when I didn't know technique, like, you know, outside foot down, you know, weight over this, whatever that. So like when I first started, I was riding my mountain bike like with the same mindset of like BMX and moto. So like my times were okay, but I was riding, like, the only way I was going fast to get a good time was just pedaling my ass off and then turning like shit and then crashing a lot too. Where yeah. then I when I slowed down
Strava effect.
Yeah. That's a Strava effect. And then when I slowed down and got some skill, like now if I coast slider just with the technique I have, I'm probably as fast as what I was pedaling my face off on it 9, 10, 11 months ago. And I'm sure same thing with yeah. you, right? I mean, obviously, like, that's a crazy time.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's now I want to go out tomorrow and get a second because yeah. that trail was, like, my shit for a while. And now I'm, like, I'm not as fast as I used to be right now. But I want to go out there and get that second.
I'm pretty sure that at this point most listeners would have, if we have any listeners ever, can actually have a story in their mind where they can think back that when this applied to them.
Oh, yeah.
And where they're at now and be proud of what they've accomplished, because yeah. it definitely is a pride thing. Like yeah. Strava is as much as we like to give kudos, it's yeah. a self kudo, like yeah. one giant self kudo.
Like, yeah. Like I'm happy for you, Ryan, like, but I'm also like yeah. mad at you that I yeah. need to go out and go yeah. get a second. No,
that's the point though. I love to come back and harass Bob just cause yeah. I know he's better than me.
Well, and Bob's weird too, because like he's been in through so many ebbs and flows of riding where like he tells me now, like I hardly ever get a PR on anything. Because he's just been at it so long, and he's probably not as fast as you've ever been, which is fine because like you're busy and you have kids. But like, but yeah, I'm the like, same way
I
right
changed.
Now.
I'm not like, as aggressive,
yeah.
on purpose because
yeah.
I've broken myself off pretty hard, and it put my family in a little bit of a pickle when my
yeah.
when we had a newborn,
yeah.
2 years ago. So yeah. I have to really focus on everything differently, but
so like your mindset with Strava now is like it's just pure data. it's pure data collection.
It's just just for
like
fun.
How far, how fast.
It's just for
like,
fun.
Yeah, it's just like it's just yeah. good to track your data, and if you do get a PR, which you still do on occasion,
yeah.
But it's not like do like everybody knows when you start riding, it's like whoa, 25 achievements, wow, and then it's like yeah. now I have rides where it's like, I think I literally named a ride is not having an achievement
yeah.
like because it just happens, well, dude, especially yeah. when you go at such a high level yeah, and then you kind of take time off or whatever, like everybody plateaus.
Yeah, there's certain things about our trails too that kind of change, like our like it's super respectable for Ryan, I'm sorry, R-Dub
R-DZ.
Yeah, you know, to get times when the trails are so loose and so dry and we yeah. haven't had rain in forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
not yeah. really like I go out there and I'm like, I don't know if I really want to go fast on this right now. There's no traction.
Well, it's been like that for 2 years.
It's like you're riding on snot.
Yeah.
And well, so it's not really motivational when you know, Ryan, he's hit the ground probably at least half a dozen hundred times, but he's never truly been hurt.
Yeah.
You know, when I broke 7 ribs, punctured both my lungs and broke my scapula.
Was that a P12?
And one smasher.
Where was that?
Coming down off the aqueduct from the south side towards the street.
Oh.
And
were you given to the trail gods?
No blood. Okay. Just broken internally. That's, yeah, I snapped myself.
Gotta give to the trail gods.
Yeah, I snapped myself.
And then there's some people like Tyler where it's like, which for everybody who's listening, Tyler Granger.
Does he have a nickname?
No. I'll have to figure that out. TGZ, I don't know. He'll come up with something stupid.
Yeah, I'll let him.
But like that dude, it doesn't matter the condition, doesn't matter the time. He is the fastest guy out here on downhill. Like, I firmly believe. Like, he'll ride
it. Just save that. Let him tell it because I'm sure he'll love to talk.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, as far as like your trail condition argument, like, it's true. Like, I'm the same way, right? Like, but for whatever reason, that dude, like, it doesn't matter how the trail is.
Yeah, but the thing about
he can nab the KOM.
Yeah, but think about Tyler, that
he's cornering.
I believe is that he's one of those guys that is not the fastest. Unless he gets challenged and it gets a fire in his butt, and then he'll do it. But he just won't go out and ride his bike for fun and start smashing segments.
Just for the sake of it?
Yeah, he has to be challenged. When he took that slider time, he was like, he got challenged. We were like, we told him what the time was, and yeah. He's like, I'm going to break it.
Like, but isn't that in itself like extraordinary? Like, I can say but it's not going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. He's a different guy. He's a guy that can take everything, but doesn't want to. He only wants to if it means something to him.
Yeah, or if it's like on his to-do list.
Yeah.
Like, which.
And then he smashed it and he's like, oh, I got more time on that. I get more on that. I'm like, you son of a gun.
Yeah. Cause it's which he's probably can, you know,
that's the crazy thing. So, but he doesn't have a Strava effect.
The Strava effect.
Yeah. He had pro motocross skills. He's a natural.
He's a guy
who doesn't know suffering that much. He could power through everything. He pit bike races. He smashes everybody on him and doesn't even train for it. Doesn't care. And just like smiles and waves everybody.
Yeah. He is the Strava. He's the reason everybody is the way they are right now. Yeah. You know, like, but yeah, no, I agree with the Strava effect. I think that.
What
about the good sides of Strava though? The Strava effect.
It's the achievement. It's like you download that phone at the end of your ride and you look and it's like you get that PR and you're like, okay, what did I PR? Well, and you're like hoping that it's the trail that you tried and it's like,
that's my next, that's what I'm leading into is like the term Strava effect to me could be broader. I just coined the Strava effect in terms of how it affects people who start. You know what I mean? Because that's a very general term for something.
Saying like as you mature in cycling.
Well, Strava effect could be like, you know, you lost weight because you downloaded Strava and you rode more because you were able to see your rides and your PRs. And the effect it gave you was you became fit, not necessarily crashed a lot. So
yeah.
I was more on the Strava effect of like
peer pressure,
how it could turn an ordinary guy into extraordinary mountain biker. Right.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool, but
yeah,
but the struggles along the way are basically what I've seen happen throughout the years is it turns somebody, to really good looking, natural, smooth skin to scars and blood into, you know, someone who's chasing these cups, wanting to be the fastest around. And that's really cool. And that's what I think Ryan's all about. Yeah. So I say, what about let's shift into Strava drama. I mean, we're going to close this up here soon, but I want to shift into Strava drama. I know there's probably 100 stories out there, but what do you guys feel without pointing fingers at anybody or like that? What do you think is like the number one Strava drama situation, like topically? Like,
I think when you probably shortcuts.
I'd have to agree with that. Probably.
Yeah. Now, like, there's differences. Like, for on Oh Yeah, you remember there was that debate on the end of Oh Yeah, where on the end of the weekday worlds, not the weekday worlds, that's the road ride out here. The O Dark Dirties, which is Tuesdays and Thursday mornings during the winter. It's a mountain bike ride. The fastest in the AV go out and hammer it down. But the end of those rides, everybody, instead of making that last right turn into that wash on Oh Yeah, they were going straight and then doing that way. So that, in my opinion, wasn't a shortcut. That was the route everybody was taking now because it blended with the ride. They didn't make a new trail. It's just... Because I think Strava, the way it works is as long as the percentage of the trail is completed, it will actually allow a shortcut unintentionally and will keep as the time. That's why that shortcut on Mike and Dave's, if you take that and you hammer the trail pretty good, it'll still count the whole time, even though that climb, cutting out that climb is like, what, 30 seconds probably, but it still counts it because that trail is still considered what, like 98% complete, I think, when I was doing the calculation. So, but that's a different scenario. Oh yeah, though, that was just, okay, we're not going right. we're going to just go straight left and end it. So like that's, but not having to brake for that right turn saved people like 5 seconds. So that became the new status quo, which is fine. That's cool. I'm down with that. But where Mike and Dave's, like, and me and Tyler had this debate. He's like, well, if everybody's cutting Mike and Dave's, let's just cut Mike and Dave's. I'm like, well, no, because what makes Mike and Dave's hard, the spirit of Mike and Dave's is that last climb. You got to be able to climb that climb out to get a good time. And for somebody who wasn't a good climber like me to hold it at the time, a number three spot on there, I was damn proud of that number three. Like, that's not what I do. I'm not a climber.
Are you upset?
I am upset. And the problem that is going on is not remedied with that yet.
Yeah, but let's talk about like that in a whole in general. Like the every trail on the mountain right now has shortcuts. Every single one has some kind of line that was an inside line that was not there before. There used to be go around.
Well, like that one on Slider, right?
That's actually a different problem.
That's like an overshoot.
The kind of right hander at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a different problem. That was two trails that intersected. That the upper trail was never there. You always had to go inside, but when
if you go high though, it shoots you down. You missed
the trail came from the drop. They actually made that trail come in right there, not knowing the effect that was going to have.
Okay,
but there's shortcuts everywhere.
So name one.
Well.
Well, like the one on Pano, lower Pano, right? You can get that split, like where you hit that tree.
Yeah, so there's like 100 of those. They're just tiny little. So I can't name them, but there's just like cause there's a bunch of small. Like even if you ride the North Ridge or Valley View going out, there's a couple there before. There's a couple inside lines there. There's a bunch everywhere up there.
So what about like on Palmdale single track? You know how there's a couple of those like. Sort of steep sections that are maybe like 15 feet in length down, and then you kind of have that slight sweeper to the left. There's a bunch of those, right? But there's one where people are kind of riding it high, and you can kind of tell. Yeah. So they're probably getting more speed out of that. Do you count that as a shortcut, or is that just that's how the trail's developed? That's how it's broken in.
Well, that's my drama, right? So if I'm going to break it down to my Strava drama, right?
Yeah.
My Strava drama is that. That people have altered the trails to suit them.
Okay.
Right? So they've altered the trails to suit them where people have made shortcuts all over the mountain.
Yeah.
And you say,
so name do you count them,
like
a shortcut,
like
though?
There's shortcuts going in and out of Cliffhanger, right?
Are there?
Yeah. There's little trails that pop in and out. There, if you actually like look around when you're riding, like you can like go slower, you'll see little trails everywhere going in and out. And I think that's, I'm not sure why everybody does it. I know that there are people out there.
You're talking like off that main ridge where it's like that fire road.
No, just the cliffhanger. Yeah. Yeah. They'll pop in and out of the fire roads.
But they
won't finish the segment. They'll go and there'll be a climb coming or something and they'll pop up and they'll bypass and drop in. So,
that's fine. But are they getting,
I don't want to get like too detailed on the exact places.
No, that's fine.
I'm just saying like in terms of like the drama, I feel like, a lot of people bypass things that don't suit them.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah. If you don't like the climb on,
then get better at the climb.
Yeah. Like,
hence why like I'm proud of my Mike and Dave's time.
And I don't know, maybe if you're listening, maybe you've done this and you have your own reason, you could comment below.
Like my dad does it down Mike and Dave's.
Yeah, you can comment below and tell us why you do it. But it's definitely annoying to see people shortcut trails to suit them better when mountain biking is not supposed to be easy. Mountain biking is supposed to be hard. It's you're supposed to be able to go out there and challenge yourself and better yourself. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some people don't think of it that way. That's kind of what's kind of okay too, because mountain biking doesn't have to be one thing. I feel like that's kind of like what mountain biking is. If you wanted a leisure, fun, non-challenging, threatening ride, that's why they make beach cruisers. But for the most part, mountain biking is actually, for our trails, it's single track, it's climbing, it's ascending, it's corners, it's jumps, it's bumps, it's, some rocks. I guess there's like three rocks out there.
There's a few.
Yeah.
Rocky Ridge.
But that's my drama. My personal drama is just people shortcutting in a hole. I mean, there's some bigger ones that, like one you mentioned that's obviously on the...
That's like the severe side.
Yeah, severe side. But That's
like that's pure like yeah. Like I'm lazy.
I do have another one. I have a second. Okay. So I don't know if we've seen this in a while, but back before I think Garmin's got as popular, and maybe they were then too, like in the 530s and the 500s. But there was a time when you would hit a segment, get a really good time, and somebody else would, and they might even have a video of that trail, of them doing it. But the Strava showed them, like, the line they took us up on the mountain, not even on the trail. So you, if you did the compare in Strava, you would actually see their line, like, 40 feet away up on the ridge. And they're not, and there's no trail up there.
But that's a GPS issue, right?
Yeah. So they would actually get, like, a KOM. I've seen this. And it's weird because when you would do the who, you want to see where they're faster than you because you can see that.
Yeah.
And they were up on the ridge. And you're going, you're actually going down the trail.
So, but that's where like you have to like credit check yourself. Like that happened to me.
Well, you can't do anything about it.
Well, like, no, well, but that's so like that. But that's also knowing you as a rider, being self-aware as a rider, right? Yeah, like
I'm just saying, it's just drama. It's just pure drama. I'm not saying it's anything internally. It's
no,
just,
no.
The drama is like it's frustrating.
Yeah.
My point is, like, it's just frustrating when you are trying your hardest and you take it kind of serious. And then all of a sudden you see things that like don't make sense, like glitches, times. Like there'll be days where if you have three of us could do the start the exact same time, finish the exact same time, follow each other exactly, and yet Strava will still be off seconds and elevations.
Well, it's still like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why it's hard. That's why like KOMs and stuff sometimes are a grain of salt because unless somebody does the same time every time, it's very consistent.
Yeah.
If they do if they do a 128 and then all of a sudden one time they're a 118, you're like,
what? Yeah. Well, that happened to me on Danger Granger. Like this was a year ago, dude.
I smashed you?
Huh? What?
Is it when I smashed you?
No, I smashed myself. So like, but like it was my original point, right? Like a couple seconds ago, being self-aware as a rider. Like I know I went down that trail and made mistakes and I wasn't on my game and I wasn't even fast. And then for my time to put me at the KOM that day, I was like, no way. That's bullshit. So I went on Strava on the computer thing. And sure enough, there's a glitch and I deleted myself on that segment. Cause it's like, people work for that, dude.
You don't need no drama.
No, it's not drama.
Yeah.
But like, dude, I didn't earn it.
Just do what I do. Just count the seconds every when you're going down a trail so you know when you match up with your
Garmin. Do you really do that?
No.
He's got a stopwatch.
I'm like, one, two, three. Just smash it.
But like, but it is self. And the same thing for Mike and Dave is like my dad, how he cuts the Mike and Dave climb sometimes. That's fine because he's not a fast downhiller, so he's not taking anybody's time. Like, nobody in 60th place is like, oh, man, he stole my 59th place. Like, no, I don't think that's the problem. But when you're in, like, the first through, like, 20 bracket, it gets kind of serious. So, like, my dad, like, he's a proficient rider, but he's not lighting the trail on fire, right? So when he cuts that time off Mike and Dave's that climb, it's all right because it's not putting him anywhere near the top. You know, where like Tyler and I rode 2 weeks ago and we were tired. So we cut it. And even Tyler, like riding quote unquote slow and cutting the climb, it put him at like number two. And I was like, dude, you can't do that. Like, you got to take that off. Like, that's, you know, I know it was unintentional, but you got to delete that. And he did.
Well, it's funny is there's different mentalities with that.
But some people have been like, sick, dude, second place. Like,
well, yeah, no. Because they say, well, if the trail's there, you know, because we've had people have this mentality before where.
But that's such a big chunk of the trail taken out.
And they'll be like, well, that's what it is. The trail's there. Like,
well, and it's currently an issue right now with that trail.
Because there is no, it's unwritten rules, right? There's no real rules.
No.
Right? So if you get upset that someone cut the trail, there is no real rules. It just, I think the only thing that really is probably the slap in the face to everybody is if you do the whole trail before there was a shortcut. And you tried your hardest, and you had a top 100 time, and you don't want to get bumped off 100. And someone comes around, and hits a shortcut, and makes one, or something just pops up, and you got bumped out. It's kind of a bummer because then it's not apples for apples. Then it's not like this isn't because you kind of want it to be a fair game. Yeah. That's kind of the hope, right?
Well, then this begs the question: does that just become the new status quo? Now, does everybody just take the cheater line?
But if somebody does, and you get bumped down to two. you kind of, it's hard not to take the cheer line because you don't want to be number two.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, then you're ruining, like, that trail's literally ruined from that point on.
That's happened a bunch of times. The whole panorama one you said is this happened.
Well, yeah, because that's got that little.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily.
It's a straight jog into the second part.
Yeah. It is faster, huh?
Yeah, instead of going out and back in.
Yeah, true. But that's before my time, right? So it's like.
There are arguments about that. That's why I have this in the drama category. Because I've heard multiple sides of people having their own drama with it,
and
right?
And here's what it comes down to. If you didn't build the trail, don't touch it. If you didn't build it, don't touch it.
I think the key really is not taking it too serious.
But it's easier said than done, dude. But like you said, we put in a lot of time. It's not easy. If you want something easy, go buy a beach cruiser. That was your words 10 minutes ago, right? Like,
No, we
suffer for a reason because we want, and it's not even about like, look at me, look at me. There's a lot of like self, you know, achievement and being happy with yourself. And it's like, and yeah, you know, in your heart that like, oh, you know, he cheated, whatever, he cut it. But it's like, you still want that leaderboard to be what is what correct, right? Like,
yeah, but there's a lot of segments out there that have cheater lines and the top times are still before the cheater lines are made.
Well, that's so
that
true.
Didn't actually make everybody faster.
Well, yeah, a lot of that's also down to trail deterioration. Like, I'll tell you right now, Narnia is not as fast as what it was a year ago when we built it.
No, it's bumpy. It's
slow. The one left is shot out.
The left's got pushed out. There's no even a left anymore. Yeah. It's like you can't even
so like
it. Or like I see the clunker times like how that trail used to be before.
It's like the KOMs from like 2008. It's like, yeah, that'll never. You know.
Well, that's what surprised me about Slider is that one turn at the bottom that has the high and low.
Yeah.
That's a hard turn to make.
As long as you don't go up high, you're good. You'll make it.
And it's chunked up. It's ledged. Yeah. So it does this little ledge thing. So you really.
You're off camber straightening out of that. It's a shitty turn.
Yeah, it's a decreasing.
Yeah.
I don't even have a term for it. The decreasing ledged left turn.
I know where I need to make up time on that is that initial drop in. Because I never hit that balls of the walls. And the one time I did is when we were talking, I almost died.
Okay, so let's bring Ryan into this. That's basically what he said. He said basically in a nutshell, without saying the exact words, was you went slow into it, Bob, and I went faster, so neener.
I don't think there's like think everybody.
Listen, you tell a story, Ryan.
Yeah.
How did you capture that time? Let's talk about it.
Oh yeah, so
a hell of a time.
Yeah. So before you want to discredit, check the day before it was 50 seconds and the next day it was 49 seconds. So it's legit.
So Mr. Consistent here.
But yeah.
So, no, I believe you. I think we all do.
But now, yeah, did you coast it at high speed with no brakes? Or did you pedal the whole thing?
I pedaled the whole thing.
Yeah, you got to.
But so, yeah, for a while I was, because it's more fun to do if you come around instead of going up and